Hey, 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 what is going on?
How we feeling, everybody?
Ready ready for episode 11, Ultra Running News Network. We're a little early this week for good reason. We have Muck 50 coming up this weekend. My background here is from the crux of Muck 50, the Willow Camp Climb, which comes about halfway in the race, and it's pretty damn steep.
And, it is a climb. It is a climb.
Yeah, and if the sun's out, it just beats on you on that climb. But
I mean, what's kind of funny is the picture you have up is a good example of like the sun being out. You know what I mean? And like, there is like what, 40 feet that's not exposed on the whole climb.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So. Yeah, it's pretty open and it can be hot. And actually, when I took this picture, you were right in front of me on this climb. But
that picture actually does pretty good justice too of how high it is, because like that's the ocean back behind you, and you don't start at the ocean this climb, but you're pretty damn close to it when you start up. You know what I mean? It is up.
Yeah. So when you come down the Dipsy Trail and you kind of deposit into the little town there of Stinson Beach, you're at sea level.
Yeah.
And once you start going through the neighborhoods, you get up to the trailhead for this Willow Camp climb. There's an aid station there. We saw Dean Karnazes taking off from us.
That's right. We were hanging with Dean Karnazes for like 25 miles. You heard it here first.
Yep. We didn't finish too far behind him actually. But anyway, this weekend, the weather is not looking too favorable. There's rain in the forecast.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 40-50% chance. Looks like some scattered showers, light to moderate. So it's not going to be, hopefully, knock on wood, it's not going to be too crazy, but yeah, it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into some race results here. We had kind of a quiet weekend when it comes to races. The most well-known race, which is Way Too Cool 50K, was going to be the 34th running of that race. And Way Too Cool is definitely one of the more well-known early season 50Ks. It draws in a lot of people from around the country. Well, this year we had storms over the weekend in California, and there was about 10 feet of snow that accumulated in the Sierra. We had rain all weekend in the Bay Area, and they also had rain up there near Cool, California, and Auburn, where this race takes place. So not only did they have rain, they had super high winds. The rivers were flowing like they were super high, flowing like crazy. Like it was a pretty dangerous situation to put, 400 plus runners in. Mm-hmm. So they canceled the race. So
the snow, the videos and the snow coming out of like, the Tahoe, Sierra kind of areas, it bonkers.
Yeah.
And which goes to something that I saw you wanted, that you didn't bring up also, which I think is a good question for a race coming up. Will it be another snow year?
That's right.
Because, I mean, there's parts of it. I thought I saw somewhere where there's sections up around Tahoe, Truckee, that got like close to 20 feet. of snow.
It's possible. I mean, you know, last year was just a crazy record year.
Yeah.
I think they ended up like 60 feet through the course of the season. I'm not sure what the totals are this year so far, but really whether it's a snow year or not, all kind of depends on the temperature. How the snow starts melting in the spring. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. If nothing else, like it's going to be the rivers are going to be running. All that's going to melt, right? Like it's just going to be
crazy. And usually right around Western States time is when the heat starts. So everything's melting and flowing and total chaos ensues and it's super hot in Auburn and all that good stuff. Last year they had a good year for weather, but but anyway, so there were some races that did happen. One was Monument Valley 50K. This is one that's out in Utah. I believe it's, well, you know, Monument Valley is in southern Utah, maybe kind of near Moab in that area. And they had some severe sandstorms and wind gusts over 50 mile an hour
that
kind of pushed them to their limits, is what Ultra Running Magazine says. And the men's winner, Jason Schlarb, who's pretty well known ultra runner, he took the win in 4 hours and 16 minutes. In the women's race, Stephanie Allen won in 6 hours and 8 minutes. So that was the Monument Valley 50K. Also the Music City Trail Ultra 50K in Pegram, Tennessee. And for the women, Brooke Wansner won in 5 hours and 40 minutes. And that was the fourth fastest time in course history for the women. And Michael Ulig won in 4 hours and 37 minutes for the men.
Michael Ulig, why does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't recognize it really, but
no, I can't think what I don't know that. Oh well,
we'll have to look up his ultra sign up.
Yep, let me go stalking.
Stalk.
Let's go see what we can find.
Funny, we just watched that movie. I mean, we've seen it before, but we just watched it again for the first time in a long time. That Stakeout
with Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. So in Decatur, Alabama, they had a Delano Park 12-hour and 50-mile race, and the 12-hour Wesley Orman won with 77 laps. That's a one-mile lap. So 77 miles in 12 hours. And Micah Anderson won the women's race with 59 laps. And then in the 50-mile race, Stacy Gagne finished first female and second overall in 9 hours and 7 minutes. And Rand Crump won in 8 hours and 44 minutes. That's a pretty cool name, Rand Crump.
Crump. Gotta get crump.
Just get crunk.
Crunk.
Pickens, South Carolina, to Conquer the Rock 50K. Petra Schobert won in 7 hours and 60 minutes. And for the men, Cody Piggott won in 6 hours and 25 minutes. So congrats to everybody that competed in those races. We also have some other results on the I Run Far website. And so there was a race in Fairbanks, Alaska, Chena River to Ridge. It's a 55 miler. Temperatures were recorded as minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit at the start. Yeah.
Dude, that's a hard no. off off topic a little bit, but because we're talking about Alaska, because when I think about Alaska, I think about dog race, dog sled racing. I was thinking about this. I was scrolling across our Twitter account. I was just kind of scrolling down the timeline, and I came across the Iditarod has started, right?
Oh.
Okay. So listen to this. This, like, right when you think you're involved in a dumb sport, you come across something like this. The Iditarod, who are this person that, like, eventually, like, their tweet person tweeted out a sledder came across a aggressive moose he had to punch in the nose.
What?
The sledder behind them came across the same aggressive moose that he had to shoot.
Rules
of the race state that if you must shoot a moose, you must field dress said moose. So he field dressed the moose.
Oh my God.
The third sledder behind him, like the third sledder now coming across, tipped his sled on the carcass of said moose.
Oh, jeez.
Like, what a ridiculous sport. Like, right, like, I was reading this, and now I kind of want to go back across the timeline and find it and, like, retweet it out for our listeners.
Yeah.
But, like, I came across this. I'm like, dude.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. I was thinking, dude, the dumb shit that I've talked about that we do in Ultra World, I've never, ever, ever uttered the words punched a moose, shot a moose, field dressed a moose, tripped over a moose. Like, these are not things. Like,
If he field dresses it, does he have to take the meat with him?
I think so.
Maybe he could feed it to – it's a musher, right? So maybe he could feed it to the dogs.
Dude, like, a moose will feed, like
– yeah, there's a lot of meat on a
moose. That's a year worth of meat. Like, that's a year worth of meat, but you field dress it because it's like the organs that will go bad, right? And it's like, I'm assuming you field dress it so it doesn't rot. And then I guess you quarter it up and take out what you can. I don't know. But like,
that's a lot of extra weight.
I will retweet this on Twitter on our account. So if you're listening, you want to go find something crazy, go read about this. It is fascinating. But I digress. We talked about Fairbanks, Alaska, and it made me drift off into this.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. That is super fascinating. And did you know that they also have a ultra race on the Iditarod course? And I believe it takes place the same time as the Iditarod. I'm going to have to look that up.
that would be horrible.
There's a few different distances. You can do like a 100 mile. You can do the full Iditarod, which is like 300 and some miles.
Yeah.
This guy from Michigan, his name's Dan, and he did it 1 year. He's the guy that, he does that Arrowhead and all that kind of stuff. He's pretty good friends with Sheldon. But
Yeah.
I met him at a trail running film festival in Michigan when we lived there, and super nice guy. But anyway, the Iditarod does have an ultra run. I'll have to look that up, see what's going on with that. But anyway, this 55 mile race in Fairbanks, it started out at -30 degrees. I can't even imagine what, you know, if there was wind, it would be like insane. But they had 5,000 feet of elevation gain, and there was only one finisher. Melissa Lewis, 11 Dude. Hours 37 minutes.
That is nuts.
I gotta see the full results. Okay. There was only three people that got in this race.
I wonder what the entry fee is to that. Like, I want to go now check out this place's website and, like, just see, like entry fees. Like there's no way they have aid. I can't imagine they have aid stations. It's got to be a self-supported, right?
Yeah. It looks like they have some.
It looks very, very similar to Broken Arrow. It looks very similar to Broken Arrow.
So they have bikes, fat tire bikes. Yeah, so must be a bike and run. Oh, man. That's a serious ice mustache there. All right, well, we'll have to check that out and see what it's all about. But so there's another race in North Marin, north of Mount Tam. It's called North Marin Ridge Run 50K. And I think a friend of mine that I met at Muck 50 last year actually is one of the, I think he's one of the race directors. If not, he helps put this on. But again, it's in Lagunitas, California, and some of these trails that they go on, I've never been on. So I definitely got to get out there for some training runs this year when I'm training for my main event, which is in September. Check out some of those trails up there in North Marin. Maya Bissner won the female race, 6 hours, 48 minutes. And Timmy Schmidt won men's race and overall 5 hours, 17 minutes. Okay, here we go. Ashley Paulson strikes again.
Dude, I'm telling you. We didn't talk about, or do we have on the agenda today to talk about who's going to Western States?
No, we're talking about UTMB.
UTMB, oh, that's right.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert. We just ain't get to it sooner or later anyways. It's going to be the day that Courtney and Ashley race is going to be absolute fire.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That will be a fun. Like, I cannot wait for that race. I kind of sort of wanted to be Western States.
Yeah. We'll definitely do a rundown of Western States entrance list here and within the next couple episodes.
It will happen.
But yeah, that would be awesome to see those two.
Yeah.
Race.
Ashley she's Paulson. Just knocking them out. She is.
She's just on her revenge tour, man. Yeah. It's
crazy.
But she won the women's race at Red Mountain 50K in St. George, Utah. That's also in southern Utah, kind of over by Zion. And she did that in 4 hours and 50 minutes. The second place female only finished 1 second behind her.
Hey,
that would have been a crazy finish.
That would have been a good finish to watch. Yeah.
Totally. Caleb Olson won the overall race, and he did it in 3 hours and 52 minutes. So. And the I Run Far article says, if we count December 28th, 2023 across the year's 100 miler, both Paulson and Olson have had busy starts to the year. Paulson won two 100 milers and this 50K, and Olson's been to the podium in two 50Ks and a 55K so far this year. So there was a Sierra Vista Trail Runs 50K in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Jessica has family in Albuquerque. So I do want to run a race in New Mexico at some point in ultra. I know I think there's one in Albuquerque. And then there's this one in Las Cruces. There's not too many ultras in New Mexico, but I do want to go do one at some point in time. But Sari Slop won for the females and 5 hours and 19 minutes. And for the males, Josh Torres, 4 hours and 25 minutes. And he was the overall winner as well. So that is about all we have for race results. And we can go ahead and jump into a little bit of news.
This is good news. This is some interesting news coming up.
Yeah. So we'll just start off with this, something that I noticed that kind of caught my eye. Lake Sonoma used to be the 50 mile race used to be a golden ticket race and a Western States qualifier. But since they they stripped, well, they did away with 50 mile Western States qualifiers. And also they took away the golden ticket race as well. So Lake Sonoma was not even a Western States qualifier for quite a while, but they wanted to get back to being a Western States qualifier. So they came out with a 100K race a couple of years ago. I think it's been going on for 2 years now. And this year they changed the name of it to the California Fall Classic. It takes place in the fall. And now, I think in this third year, I think it is finally a Western States qualifier. I don't think it was a Western States qualifier before in the first 2 years of the 100K, but now it is. And it's a late season qualifier, so it's a good fall race. And Lake Sonoma, the trails over there are pretty cool. They're rolling. You get a lot of climbing out there. It can be muddy, but since this takes place in the fall, hopefully it hasn't rained, you know, for like 4 months. So it probably wouldn't be too muddy. So good time of year. It could be hot. That's the only downside. It could be like really hot, but anyways, just wanted to talk about that. All right. Next story up. Okay. So,
there it is.
I think it was the last episode, wasn't it? How we talked about AJW's.
Was it the last one, or did we talk about? It might have been the last one. Yeah. Either the last one or two ago. Either way, it was very recent.
Yeah. So AJW had a tweet about observing the younger or newer ultra runners, the new generation of ultra runners, spending too much time in aid stations. It was just an observation he had. Johnny and I had a kind of lengthy discussion in our last episode about that. And, you know, we both agreed, I think, that sometimes you do have to spend a decent amount of time in an aid station when you're totally destroyed. And it's different for the elite runners and all that. So anyway, AJW, he's had hip surgery a couple times. He had hip resurfacing, and I think he just had a total hip replacement. And cool. Yeah. And it's like a new, it's new technology, hip replacement. And hip replacements, surprisingly, are not that big a deal, I learned. You get your hip replaced and you walk, and you're walking the same day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway, AJW ran the Black Canyon 60K, and it was his first ultra back since his hip surgery. And in his, one of his articles, you know, he writes an article every Friday for I Run Far. And this article, he's talking about reflections on changes. So he ran this race after his surgery, and he thought about not only his experience, he says, but the experience of those around him. In that context, after the race, he posted the following observation on social media. So observation today, the new generation spends way too much time at aid stations. So he said that the response to the post was informative and thought-provoking. A few veteran ultra runners did point out to him that perhaps extended aid station breaks have always been a part of the sport. It is just that he's never seen them until recently, since he was always rushing forward in front of the pack.
Yeah.
And a few others pointed out that as more and more newcomers come to the sport, they've done so for different reasons with different goals. In particular, one person said that, reminded him that more people are coming to these events for a simple goal of having a special experience, less concerned with finishing time, more concerned with sharing the trail with a bunch of like-minded people in a beautiful place. So spending extra time eating food and chatting with the volunteers has for some become essential to the experience. So he goes on in the next section, teaching an old dog new tricks. And he does talk a little bit about at his next ultra, he's not sure if he'll abandon his get in, get out approach to aid stations, but he's certainly not going to sit in judgment of those who do choose to make the most of the experience. And may I just learn a thing or two along the way?
Interesting. In his defense, like after, you know, because I saw the post when it first happened, and then, you know, reading this kind of like his rethinking, right? It's funny because like now I don't know if he's really trying to crap on people. It is an interesting observation of like, hey, it's always been like this. It's just that you're like 10 hours ahead of everybody, dude.
Yeah. But
like that, like I, after reading this, I'm like, oh, that's actually like, yeah, that's a pretty obvious statement. Like it's always been, but the other thing that was kind of interesting is like what, even if AJ rubbed you wrong on this initial thought of his, even if that rubbed you wrong, you gotta love the dude that can be humble enough to be like, ah, I was wrong. You know what I mean? Like fair enough.
Yeah.
Like everyone gave me some good thoughts. That's an interesting take. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a good dude. Like, just another example of why he's so well liked and so well respected in the sport.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. He's as good as it gets when it comes to people in ultra running, someone I've always looked up to. And he's a great guy. And he takes what people say into account after he makes these posts. And just like you said, it just goes to show how good of a guy he is. So anyway, I just wanted to follow up on that little bit. So let me I lost my browser. Okay, here we go. All right. Next story. We're gonna talk a little bit about the Ultra Runner of the Year, Jim Walmsley. Okay, so Jim, as we all know, got Ultra Runner of the Year through Ultra Running Magazine, and he is the first male to first male to win UTMB, first American male, I should say, first American male to win UTMB. It was awesome to see an American take that home. And after UTMB, he went to another race in France. That it's a golden ticket race in Nice. And he won that golden ticket race. And he accepted the golden ticket. So that means he is in the entrance list for Western States. Which is really interesting. See him coming back to Western States, like his race, you know. So it'll be interesting to see if he ends up running it, because we're going to talk about it in a minute. He's also signed up for UTMB.
So I mean, if only there was somebody else out there, who could prove. Oh, you can win them both. If only there was like some like really badass human being that could prove that, right?
If only.
Hey.
Oh, and throw a Hard Rock win in there as well.
Let's just toss aside.
But anyway,
Oak Court just throws down the gauntlet. Like, hey, look here, yeah. Jimmy. Like, I did it.
Yeah, no doubt. He might be racing in Western States. He moved back to Arizona.
Like Tucson, right?
I think he's in the Flagstaff area.
Flagstaff.
Yeah. And okay, so he is going back. This article from I Run Far says that he is, well, he was supposed to race Trans Gran Canaria this year.
Yeah.
But he withdrew from that. I'm not sure why. Maybe if he wasn't ready or if he's injured, I'm not sure. But this article in I Run Far says he's going back to France for the month of March to ski and then spent spring in Arizona to train for Western State.
What a life.
Then he'll head to Hard Rock to support his friend and his friends in the San Juans. In the second half of July, he returns to France again and finalizes his training for UTMB. So
it sounds like he's going for a double dip.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I'm gonna call it right now. I'm ready for this. All right, let's mark this. Let's mark this date. Let's mark this time. Let's timestamp this. Jim and Court win both Western and UTMB this year.
It shall be interesting.
that's my call. That's my call.
It shall be interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to these big races. And that kind of brings us to what we're going to talk about next. So we had a pretty lengthy discussion about Killian and Zach Miller and their email to some of the elite ultra runners calling for maybe they band together, do a different race than UTMB, just because of kind of the corporatization of UTMB by Ironman and all that. Well, we just got evidence that their boycott didn't work.
not making the impact.
No. So the entrance list for UTMB came out. And it is loaded with strong runners. Okay. I can blow this up on the screen. Matthew Blanchard, just an incredible runner. France, he's actually a Canadian too. Aurelien Peláez, he won Hard Rock.
Yeah.
And he won Diagonal de Fou, which I've talked about that race on a previous episode. That race is insane. That's the one that's like a 12-hour flight from France. It's like a French-owned island off the coast, off of Africa, like way out, like off of southern Africa. Like it's just in the middle of nowhere. And, he's won some big races. Tom Evans, Western States winner last year. And third at the 2022 UTMB, he's from the UK. This is a crazy good runner. Walmsley, of course, we just talked about. He won UTMB last year. So, and then you have
And then you just get into a wild headliners, like wild names.
Yeah. So this headliner men. So this is not. So they have recent top five finishers, and then they go into the other talented, which they call headliner men.
Yeah.
And just some names that we recognize would be Arlen Glick.
Yep.
Ohio boy.
Yep. Yep.
So he's going out there.
Dakota Jones rings a bell to me. I know that. I know Dakota Jones. Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Both those.
New Zealand. Daniel Jones just won Tarawera.
Yep.
100K. And Tyler Green out of Portland.
Oregon. Yeah.
Super strong runner. Miguel Harris from Spain. Super strong runner. Daniel Jung from Italy. And I mean, the list just goes on and on. It is going to be one heck. Oh, Tim Tolfson. He's in UTMB like every year. He lives in the Western Sierra in Mammoth Lakes. And he is just a super strong runner. He got fifth at 2021 Western States. He got first at 2020 Javelina, first at 2019 Lavaredo. He's in UTMB like every year. So He's super strong. So yeah, lots of strong names in the race this year.
Yeah.
And then for the OCC, which is the 55K, Eli Hemming, who just won the Black Canyon 60K. He's running it. So I don't think they've come out with the names for OCC or for CCC yet, the 100K. So yeah, should be interesting. Boycott didn't work. Oh, they have that TDS race too, which is really crazy. It's like 70 some miles, but it's super technical. That's where somebody died. Remember when somebody died? Like, I think was it 2 years ago at UTMB? It was in that TDS race.
Actually, on the so that's the guys, right? And then yeah. if we flip over and look at the women that's entered it, I don't feel like it's as big name as some of the guys, but there's still some big names. Esther, yeah.
Selig
is in there.
She's part of that craft running team with Arlen Glick, I believe. Katie Scheid.
Katie Scheid's another name that I saw that I recognize. It's in there.
She won 2022 UTMB and Diagonal de Fou last year. So yeah, she's super strong. And for the headliner, I mean, Hillary Allen, she's super strong. There's Claire Banaworth. She's been on a tear.
Claire Banaworth, I recognize. And then just a handful down from that. And who Lucy, we just talked about.
Lucy Ruth Bartholomew.
Ruth Croft is on here. Like, she's everyone. She's going to it. So.
Bats.
Yep. So.
She got first at 2022 Trans Gran Canaria. Abby Hall is super strong. Emily Hoggood. I don't know. There's quite a few. Ida Nielsen.
So.
Sabrina Stanley. She lives out in the Durango area. She's won Hard Rock. That year that Courtney dropped out. Super strong names. Amanda Basham. She's strong. Addie Bracey. Lindsay Dwyer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
should be interesting. Oh, Rachel Drake, she just won Black Canyon. She's in the OCC, which OCC. Is at 55.
Yeah.
I didn't see Courtney's name.
Courtney's not on there. Yeah.
So maybe she's not. Maybe she's not running UTMB.
She's not on it yet. So.
Kind of looks like the men and the women's fields are. Pretty dang strong. So
yeah.
Should be a fun race to follow this year, even though, you know, it's difficult. Like, you know, I don't agree with everything they're doing, but at the same time, I love to see, you know, to see like the big events in our sport, right? So all right, let's move on. Here's a kind of a fun story.
Some feel good news or some, you know what I mean? Like something, is pretty cool to see this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So there's this 100-year-old guy, Colin Thorne. He's from New Zealand and he's still kicking ass.
It's like kicking a lot of ass.
Yeah. He just recently completed his 175th park run. So park runs, I learned about these from a Jeff Peltier video when he was over in England. He did one of these park runs. So park runs take place all over the world. They're in more than 2,000 locations. And basically it's just one night during the week and people all gather at one park and they run like a 5K. And it's called a park run. And it's really... really taken off. So he's 100 years old, just completed his 175th park run. He has a weekly commitment to that park run. He's become a celebrity. So, and
park runs sound pretty great. They sound like the OG like run club, right? Like just meet up, get a quick run in, like around the park, and like it sounds like a good time. So,
yeah, that's totally what it is. Yeah, just get together, you know, don't have to pay anything. Just get together and have a fun social outing. So. But the 5K is just one part of his weekly exercise routine. He told I Run Far. He goes to the gym 3 times a week. He walks the other days. And Saturday, they have the park run. He says he takes Sunday off to go to church. So, I like Sundays off too, man. Sunday, I'm not really religious, but Sunday is definitely like my day of rest.
A recovery day, yeah.
Unless I miss my training run on Saturday and I have to get out there on Sunday, but yeah. I prefer just to sleep in on Sunday, drink some coffee, watch the morning show, you know.
Yeah.
But so, anyways, he says so he does go to the gym 3 times a week. I know we have to start doing strength training. Like I know it.
So. Like, listen, like, I mean, two of the guys I know best, Chaz and Pete, both of them, man, like, it has made a world of a difference. Chaz officially broke down and got himself an official coach this year. It's made a difference for him. It's and he's implemented weights. It's and gym time and. It's working for him so far. And then Pete's been doing the weight thing for a while and the gym thing. And like that dude has just gotten like every year he gets leaps and bounds stronger and faster. So
I know I haven't pulled the trigger. Like I just been putting it off, but lately I've been noticing, you know, recovering from doing a lot of vert is not, not as good. Yeah, I mean, 45 years old and, you know, muscle only starts breaking down. So,
yep.
It's unfortunately, it's time. I just, you know, I know a lot about ultra running. I've learned over the 12 or 13 years I've been doing it. I don't know anything about lifting or I don't even know where to start. Like, do I just do push-ups? You know, I'm going to have to figure this out.
I was told by a person I trust and would basically follow off a cliff, said, really, if you're going to go and you're going to lift, you know, and you want to add that in, he said, I want to say he said you can do 2, but I swear there was a third. Essentially, he was like deadlifts, just start doing deadlifts and lat pull downs. And I feel like there's a third, but deadlifts and lat pull downs. He's like that will give you every bit of a start you need to lifting and building a stronger body for running.
I can believe it. I've heard a lot of different stuff, but I've heard that heavy weight, like small amount of reps, is effective.
But, yeah. Yep.
I mean, I've heard a lot of different stuff, so I don't know. Something to look into. Maybe I'll pick Chaz's brain.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think lifting is probably a pretty important part of his routine that how he can keep going at 100 years old. So he worked most of his life as a dairy farmer and maintaining sports grounds after he retired. He still lives at home, mows his large lawn, and grows his own vegetables. I know, totally. Aspirations.
yeah.
He attributes his health and vitality largely to keeping busy and being physically active. And he played rugby until he got injured. And he stepped back from rugby, took up hockey. He got injured from rugby, so then he just takes up hockey. and he played for 30 years. And then after several decades of team sports, he went into a pursue a sport that he could do solo, and he discovered running. At age 64, he discovered running and ran his first marathon. When he was finished, he ever wondered if he could do another. He went on to run 50 marathons and 102 half marathons before stepping back from longer distances at age 90.
Telling you.
Yeah. So pretty awesome. Pretty cool. I'm definitely, you know, motivated. I'm inspired. I hope to be able to at least run into old age, but we'll see.
Yeah. Time will tell.
All right. I think one last story that we have here today.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool picture too that goes along with it.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool because it happened in San Francisco. This guy, Gary Gellin of Mill Valley, which is just north of San Francisco, he set out to break the world record for an unsupported run while Everesting. So, and this article is from Ultra Running Magazine, by the way. So what is Everesting? Everesting is when cyclists or runners ascend and descend a given hill multiple times in order to have cumulatively climbed 29,032 feet, which is the elevation of Mount Everest. So basically pick any hill, go up and down until you get to 29,032 feet of climbing. Now, there's a couple different categories. There's one category where it's like you just go up and then you get a ride down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going up the whole time. And then there's another category.
It's called the shuttle category.
That's right.
Called the shuttle category. Shuttled right. And non-shuttled. Yeah.
Yep. And then non-shuttled obviously is going up and running back down. So he completed the fastest non-shuttled Everesting time in the United States and the fifth fastest in the world. I just love this. He picked one of the top 10 steepest streets in San Francisco. That's 22nd Street between Church and Vicksburg. The grade is slightly over 31%, and the linear distance climb is 264 feet. So if you notice in this picture, and for those of you who are not listening, he's going up the sidewalk there. The sidewalk is composed of steps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but you know what always I cut? And like when I visited you out in San Francisco, I noticed this too. And like you see it in pictures and you see it all the time. But when I visited you, and like this picture is kind of doing it justice. It's the cars that are parked on that road. Like it's like, it looks like they are just like centimeters away from just like toppling down the hill.
Yeah.
And like the, there's a truck in this picture and it's just like, it honestly looks like there's like extra space at the front in the tire well of it. It's leaning so much. Like it's.
Mm-mm. You can definitely see a rise in the frame in that truck. Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's
like if, It does seem like if you could just push one of those cars over, it would just, all the other ones would just tumble like dominoes.
Yeah. The other thing, and just like, listen, I'm assuming if you've listened to this podcast or watch this YouTube channel, you understand how much absolutely more badass it is that he did the non-shuttle version.
Yep.
Like, that is fucking, that's nuts. That is nuts to do non-shuttled. Like, like his quads.
Oh
my God. Like, his quads must have been just, like, I can't wrap my head around. How do you, like, how do you train? Like, he must have did a year plus on stair climber just getting ready for this. Like, it doesn't make sense to me how he. The other part that I love about the picture that's on here is it has him in the foreground. Obviously, it has Gary in the foreground. There's just some poor schmuck out for a run in the background that was probably like, what is this asshole doing? Because there's like a little bench set up. There's like
it's almost like he's like got his own little like homeless encampment on the street.
Yeah. Yeah. He just went down to the Tenderloin and borrowed stuff. Yeah. Idea, man. It's like, I'm going to take this over onto this other street.
Yeah.
I guess that's
like the Tenderloin Rent-A-Center.
Yeah.
So he went up and down these steps, and I don't know if he went down the road and I don't know if he used the road at all, like to take a break from the steps, but in this picture, he's going up the steps and he has trekking poles too. He finished. This is what really is kind of like super impressive. He finished in 11 hours and 47 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And accumulating 29,000 feet of ascent in 59, about 60K.
60 kilometers, yeah.
So that's like 37 miles. 29,000 feet in 37 miles in 11 hours and 47 minutes. I mean, it's astonishing. The world record is 10 hours and 45 minutes set by Simon Grinstrup of Denmark, 2021.
It's funny because when you hear it's kind of funny because like you really gotta it's a 60K and it took him, you know, just shy of 11 hours. Right. But it was only going up and down. Like he had no recovery. Like there was never a time where he like, whew.
Right.
Legs are screaming. Let me just lean into this. Let me just enjoy this flat area for a little bit.
Or just walk down this gradual downhill. Something.
Like there's just, it's just like that level of relentless, just like up and down, up and down. Like,
yeah.
You've heard me. I bitch and moan the entire time up and down. But like this is absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
So
When we do our vert thing for the run up for air or whatever in June.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to go over and use that street. No.
Oh, dude.
No, I don't think I'm gonna. I have plenty of other hills and trails that.
Yeah, but I feel like this should be. I feel like you should incorporate. You know what? Like, if you really wanted to, you should just map from your house, right? You should map from your house and you should orchestrate a run that incorporates the uphill of the 10 steepest roads in all of San Francisco.
Oh, that's
so.
That's
so, you know what I'm saying? That's what he did. He picked one of the top 10 steepest streets in San Francisco. So for that event, you should say, hey, I'm going to find the top 10 steepest and I'm going to map from my house, incorporate the ups of those 10 steepest and then loop it back around to my house. There you go.
That could be like an FKT route.
That could be demonic.
Establish an FKT route.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. But then you'll have weirdos hanging out in front of your house trying to knock off your FKT. Like you have to start from that, that little basketball tennis court across the street. That, you get stuff from there, and everyone's like, who are these assholes showing up like once a month? What is going on?
No, probably start down at Land's End or or somewhere.
As we get ready to wrap up, you know what we need to talk about that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Oh, no, I don't. I mean, let's go ahead and talk about
Sorry. Oh. We need to give a extra shout out because we did get called out on not giving some of their proper dues.
That's right.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, she stayed true to the game and was pot committed all the way through. And here at 55 minutes and just shy of 55 and a half minutes, she can hear her shout out for knocking out Jackpot and killing it out there too. So
yeah, Charlotte, the costume chick.
The costume, yeah.
Which, by the way, she was at Jackpot, and we didn't know.
Yeah,
I'm pulling up her Instagram right now.
It's funny because like the one picture that you shot, they're like, "Oh, we, you know, that you shot over to me to remind me." The dinosaur one is just another good one.
Yeah, she did that one.
She wore Little Rock. Looks like, yeah.
Or yeah, the Little Rock Marathon.
Yeah,
it must have been her birthday. Happy birthday, Charlotte.
Yeah. There's something I feel like Little Rock and a dinosaur just feel like it goes hand in hand. I don't know why. That's a dope one. That one is super.
Wow.
Cool. That's a little freaky too. Like, could you imagine in the middle of the night you look behind you with your headlamp on and you see back running down the forest behind you? I'd shit all over myself.
No, this was at Farm Days.
That's a cool one right there.
Wow.
So go back. No. Where you were scrolling, it had like the sheep or something like that.
Yeah.
Right there. Ooh. Right there. Nope, back one.
That one?
That goat with its head over the fence.
That's pretty awesome.
That's the one. That's its head. She sacrificed that goat and turned its skull into that costume.
Oh, jeez.
That's not true. I made that before anyone starts screaming at marathon.
Yeah.
That is not true. I made that up. Do not bother her.
Here she is at the Wilmington Marathon. Looks like a seahorse. And here's the jackpot. The one we missed. Oh, looks like she's a dealer at
which makes sense. It's the roulette bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is that really? Yeah. That's true.
26, yeah. 26 black. It's the winner. So, all right. So shout out to Charlotte. Sorry, we missed you at the jackpot.
Yeah. So.
All right. Okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up everything that we had to talk about today.
Okay. Just like Charlotte did, do not hesitate to slide up onto the social medias. Twitter, we're on there, Instagram, Facebook, we're on all of them, Threads, slide up, hit us up, if you do, we'll give you a little shout out. We will mention you on here, just like Charlotte called us out. And so, well, we take care of her. So,
That's right. Yeah. We like interaction from the community. That was kind of our vision when we first started this, was to kind of have make it be community oriented. We definitely be willing to have people on from time to time too, if anybody wants to come on. So
come on and kick it.
Yeah, come on and hang out like a trail run. So, but yeah, hit us up on socials. And we'll see you on the next one.
Talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody.